There's so many things in this world that are out of our control. Despite our efforts and sacrifices in many areas, there's only so much you can do. But while things are not in our control, God is still in control. And even when you can't trace him, you must trust him. Even when things look very confusing and don't make any sense at all, God is fully aware of what's going on. And that's where faith has to really kick in. So I will be transparent with you this morning. My faith is being tested right now, but God is still able, and he still sits on the throne, regardless of what comes, or as the old people say, what come or what may. And so this morning, people of God, let's go before his throne, worship and praise. Let's listen to what the Spirit is saying to his church at this very hour. So regardless of what's going on around us, Lord God, we lift you up in this place. We honor you and we worship your holy name, Lord God. For there is none like you, nor will there ever be. Father, we pray that as this service goes forward this morning, that you touch the heart of these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just have a couple of announcements that I want to give to you as we go forward for this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get to it in just a moment. First of all, we'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. Amen. I had my announcements and then they end up going and they end up disappearing. But I will find them. I will find them. Wherever you go, I will find them. Amen. I just had it. That's what I get for messing with my computer too much. Amen. All right. Today at 1 o'clock p.m., can you mute number 4, please? That's what that is, Jamar. That's what it is. Anytime you hear it, pop it. All right. So today at 1 p.m., immediately after service, the core meeting will be in the conference room. We're just going to have a quick and brief service. Kids, can you all come from over there in that side corner? I want y'all to come right over here so I can see exactly what you're doing. Amen. Amen. I love all of y'all. And don't pile up on the right-hand side. Go all the way to the opposite side. Amen. Amen. Johnny, you too. Thank you. I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. Not the back road either. Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me. Look at all these boys. Oh, Lord. Hey, man. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Don't worry. You'll be able to find the spot. So Tuesday, October the 2nd, we're going to be having a national night out. We're going to be discussing that in our core meeting as well as a couple of other things. And that's going to be going on from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We would like for our church family to come on out as we reach into the community one more time. This event is going to be in conjunction with the City of Castleberry Police Department, of which I am one of the chaplains there, out at Lake Concord Card, which actually is one of the most beautiful parks in this immediate area. You definitely want to come out for that. If you're not familiar with that, that's where a lot of the events are held at, such as Funtoberfest, some of the Easter egg hunts that have been conducted by several of the churches in the area right at Lake Concord Park, which is on the opposite side of the street. So there will be bounce houses, a dunk tank, face painting, food and drinks, and I will not be participating in the dunk tank. There's an anointing to get me in the water, so I think I'm going to avoid that this time around. Also on Wednesday, October the 3rd, from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., we will be once again joining the Castleberry Police Department with coffee with a cop at the Castleberry Starbucks on 436. That's more so an event that is for me. But if you happen to be in the area at that moment in time from 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m., definitely come on out. Now, what's the reason why we are doing this and why we are doing so many things in conjunction with the police, such as the chaplain situation or national night out? It's because there's a lot that's going on out there in this world. And sometimes the best thing to do is, instead of you typing on Facebook your displeasure or putting up a meme about, you know, this or that particular topic, why not go ahead and talk with people face to face before anything happens? Amen. Because sometimes the best influence that you can have is when you talk to somebody face to face and heart to heart and let your presence be known. And so while I may not be preaching or teaching, or maybe if you do come to that event, you may not be preaching or teaching, sometimes there's this thing that's called the blessing of presence, or you just being there and being active. And as people get to know you and as they get to see you, you may not get out of any tickets, but I'm just saying. So it's good for us to be able to be integrated in the community. We complain all the time about what the church is doing. What is the church doing? What is the church doing with this? What are you doing in the community? I hope y'all doing more than just picking up tithes and offerings. There is more than that. And our ministry is such a place. That's why it's so important for us to be able to support one another as we come to the house of the Lord and as we begin to move in other things. Also, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I don't know why I'm going to give this announcement, but you can do that. All right, because normally I'm not going to say, hey, y'all bring gifts, cards, words of encouragement on October the 14th as we celebrate our pastor. Oh, I just said it. Oh, okay, okay. You got it. All right, all right, all right. I was reading what is on the paper.
Yes, Pastor definitely speaks with what is on the announcement, so we appreciate that, Pastor. But as you all know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, so we want you to feel free to bring any cards, gifts, words of encouragement on October 14th. Okay, so October 14th is going to be the date that we celebrate, but you're welcome to bring anything throughout that whole month. And actually, every day should be Pastor Appreciation Day, because we can't say that necessarily we send him inboxes or we ask him to pray for us specifically in October. Amen? Is there anybody that can say that they only do that in October? I know I can't say that. So every day should be Pastor Appreciation Day, but we're going to celebrate specifically on October 14th. So be sure to send your kind words, send some kind inboxes, make sure you bring someone to church with you. Just be encouraging during that time. Amen?
Amen. That's been good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. No. You can do the rest of it. It's all right with me. Saturday, October the 27th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., we're going to be having a Funtoberfest at Secret Lake Park, once again, which is also a very wonderful and very beautiful area. It's right behind City Hall, if I believe. No, a little bit further down than Lake Concord. There will be free candy, food, arts and crafts, hay rides, games, and more. We will begin collecting individually wrapped non-chocolate candy today. Non-chocolate candy today. All right. Now, if you happen to bring some chocolate candy, you can give that to me before the end of the service, and I will dispose of it immediately. You won't even see how fast it will disappear. All right? All right. So, please see Sister Akilah Mara for more information, or her wonderful representative, Brother Emmanuel Mara. All right? All right. Also, we're calling all teachers. Our children's church is looking for energized, dedicated volunteers to work with our children on Sunday mornings. Once again, volunteers will be assigned as needed. If you're interested in that, please see Lady Martin so that we can resume our children's church. Also, as a side announcement, we do have a cry room or a children's room for services right in the conference room across the hallway. So if ever your child starts getting frustrated or, you have to deal with them, always just feel free to go across the hall. We'll be streaming the service in here across the hall, so you won't miss anything. And then once they fall asleep, you can come back in, or even if you want to stay in there, and we'll make sure we have an attendant that can attend to your needs right across the hallway in our conference room. Also, the Snack Shack will be closed today, so you're going to have to go to Culver's or go to your house to eat food this time. All right. And also, this is an open invitation, as always, to become a member of Divine Truth Christian Center. Our church is on the path of growing, even though it doesn't always look like that, but it is the case. And so make sure that you definitely continue to invite people out to church. And I want to go ahead and put that up really quick as well. All right. So here's the reasons why it's important for you to invite individuals to church on a regular basis. And we typically have about five of them. Number one, if you ask people, they actually will come. We are not in the day of the 2000s or the 1990s where the only thing you had to do was just open up a church and everybody would flock in. We're in a different era now. We're in the Trump era. We're in the millennial era. We're in the era of pedophile priests. We're in the era of people seeing preachers with $65 million jets. So you have a lot of skepticism. You got a lot of people who are very adverse when it comes to things of the church, and partly is because they have not been exposed to a lot of good churches. They don't really know what that is, but when you do find a good church, it's important for you to be able to invite others, all right? You can't make anybody, but it is important that you do so. So once again, if you ask, people actually will come. They will come. But here's the catch. You got to be here with them. You got to be here with them. If they show up and you at home, talk about someone watching online, that's not cool. You know, it's important for that. It's just like when you went to your first day at school. It's always more comfortable when you're there with your friends, right? It makes it go a little bit easier. So once again, if you ask, they will come. You do have influence. Also, you are being obedient to the Great Commission. Jesus told each and every one of us to go and preach the gospel to every living creature on this particular planet. And oftentimes, it not only starts with your own household, but just your neighbor next door. If you could go play basketball with them, if you go to the gym with them, if you go to school with them, and this is including the kids here as well, then you can also invite them to church. They don't have to always believe in God. That's not always the case. But because we're a gospel-preaching church, you're giving them the opportunity to be able to hear the gospel, and then God will do the drawing from that particular point on. Amen? Amen. Also, people's lives hang in the balance. In other words, all souls matter. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There's politics and all this other stuff that's going on. I'm going to touch on that a little bit later on in the message. But people's lives hang in the balance. There's been some individuals that have just passed away this particular week and just recently. You want to be sure in your heart that they know the Lord Jesus Christ before they go into eternity. Amen? You don't want to be so cool with somebody until you don't share Jesus with them. All right? All right. That's very important, because when you go into that ground, things don't just stop there. It continues to go, and it goes in either one destination or another destination. So if that is something important to you, that's another reason why you should invite people to church. Also, inviting helps the church grow into the community. We can't have influence to help people with different situations and circumstances that they go through. We cannot help people with a bill if they run into a large emergency. We can't assist with certain types of families, and we can't pour monies into certain types of projects unless we have the resources in order to be able to do that. And so by inviting people to church, when they catch hold of the vision, they'll be able to see, okay, this church is doing more than just saying, I'm praising him. There's nothing wrong with that, if that's your style. But if you look at our entire facility, our facility is built for the community. We have our sanctuary in here, but in the community center next door, we also have a place for people to be able to come and run activities in our community center next door, as well as a daycare that we'll be opening up within the next several weeks or so. And so all of those pieces are necessary, but we need resources in order to be able to do that. And it's also encouraging to be able to see your faces on a Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Just imagine you invite everybody to your birthday party and only one person shows up, you're going to feel some kind of way, right? But think about it, with Pastor Martin and Lady Martin and the leaders of this particular church, when we pour so much into people on a regular basis, the least that you can do is just show up and smile and keep us encouraged. Amen? Amen. Amen. Ministry gets tough sometimes, but I'm not going anywhere. Don't worry about it. I'm a hard hammer knocker. But every now and then, it's good to know that people also care about you as well. And then last but not least, number five, inviting is a reminder of how God reached you. How God reached you. One of the things that very few people really understand is this, is that if you grew up in church, that doesn't mean that you're saved. Okay? Because grandmama prayed all the time, that doesn't mean that you're saved. When you hear a message, that doesn't mean that God pricked your heart. If you come to the front of the church crying, that doesn't mean that God, you know, is moving within you. Only you know when you're ready to come to the Lord. Whenever you know that, that is God pulling you to him. Nobody else can do that. A human can't do that. So here's what I do know. When God calls us to himself, our lives change completely. They change for the better. Even our hard times are still made as good times. Our hard times are still made as good times. And so as a result of that, we want to invite people so that they could have the chance to hear the gospel, so their hearts could be changed, and so that their lives can be changed for the better. It is the great equalizer in this world. It is the hope of this world, and that is through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so those are the reasons about why we want you to invite individuals to church. That's the way that we grow, and we could do more and more in this community. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you. Also, for first-time guests, if this is your first time here in the sanctuary, just raise your hand real quick. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Welcome to the Lion Tree Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. I would like to meet with you. You all at the end of service, just so that my wife and I can say hello to you. Just want to say hello to you. Don't worry, we're not going to do no weird stuff. We're just going to be regular people. You see, we just got regular clothes on today. Hopefully, you have regular clothes on every day. All right. So, yeah, we're a very laid-back environment, but we definitely preach the gospel. We dressed up last week. I think that was our max. So we had suits and ties because we had a wonderful event for our men last week. Everybody was just dressed nice and just... My son said, why does everybody look like bishops in here? I was like, Lord, have mercy. I didn't have an answer for him. All right, all right. You all ready to give? Yeah. Amen. Let's give. At this moment in time, we want to go ahead and get in a position of giving. For those of you that are watching online, Brother Cliff, how you doing? I want you to go to the website and up in the right-hand corner. I want you to click on the give button so that you can sow a seed into this ministry. Amen. Amen. All right. That's for anybody that watches online, if you're at home, because people do have a tendency to not give if they're not there. But your gifts are still needed, you all. This particular month, we have to reach a specific goal so that we can keep everything going as necessary. So if you skip a couple of Sundays, or if you know that you haven't given as you should have, please make sure that you do so on this particular morning so that we can stay consistent with this facility, so that we can continue to have an impact in the community. Amen. So on your screen right now, for those of you that are watching at home, you should see three different areas. The first area is that you can give online through our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. The website address is there. The second form of giving, The second form of giving is through our square cards, which is in the back of the sanctuary. You should see two different types of kiosks. They are not ATM machines. So if you put your card in, ain't no cash gonna come out. So don't go spread a rumor. Talk about, I went to a church this morning, they had ATMs inside of the church. See? Don't do that. You know the reason why we have that? Is because people don't carry cash anymore. All right? Grandma and grandpa, they had that long knot inside of their pocket about this big, and they walk around with it. Guess what? People don't do that anymore. So the millennials and all of the other Gen X people and even some boomers, they have recommended to me that, Pastor Mom, we don't do that anymore. So that's the reason why we have the kiosks in the back. All right? But finally, we do have some people be like, I ain't bring my card, but I do have a little bit of money. So you also can do it the traditional way, which we have our attendant to in the sanctuary, Sister Lisa Winsley. She'll be passing around the bucket along with one of our young lions. D2, come in. Come on, stand on up. Come on up, my brother. He's our junior usher in the making. Look at that smile. He is wet. I ain't call you up here. Just get over there. You gonna help out with the bucket? You see? There she is. All right. That's it. You see what I did there? All right. So that's the other way as well. Once again, give the best that you can. For those of you that are home, my DTCC family that was not in attendance this particular morning, you know who you are. Make sure that you give this morning so that we can continue to move forward. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you for these gifts that you are about to receive, Lord God, as we reach into this community and as we be the arms and legs and feet of Christ in this world, Lord God. Let us be able to give cheerfully as a cheerful giver, with our hearts being driven, not due to grudgingly or through manipulation or control, but genuinely through love. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're an analytical person and you need some reasons as why you should give properly, just take a look at the screen, and those are the biblical reasons as why you should give to this particular ministry. Be blessed.
Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. All the time. God is good. Amen. I'm so excited about what God is doing in our lives, even when we don't know what he is doing. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for allowing for us to be in your presence one more time, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless these, your people, so that they will be able to hear the word down in their spirit, so they can create a true life change, a transformation, Lord God. Something that they can tangibly hold on to. In this wild and wicked world, Heavenly Father, bring peace and comfort to those that are struggling right now in their souls. Let us look to you, Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We love you, Lord God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, saints. Hallelujah. God is awesome. God is powerful. Amen. God is awesome. He is powerful. He is loving. So may I preach God's word with all that I have. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 24. And it goes as follows. It's very, very interesting. Not many people talk about this, but I hope you can heed and hear it. Verse 16 says, "Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, 'Oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. It happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together.'" Hope you can get this. "There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom." Sounds like a lifetime woman. Verse 21, "When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son, whom I had born. Then the other woman said, 'No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son.' The first woman said, no, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. It's going to get better in just a moment. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Watch this, verse 24. The king said, get me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. Lord have mercy. The title of this morning's message is Going Half on a Baby. Going Half on a Baby. This story, people of God, is very peculiar in its contents, as it has a valuable lesson that we should consider in our modern era. One of the complaints that many people have towards God's glorious church is relevancy. How is this going to be relevant to my life? How is this going to actually make sense of this crazy and wicked world that we live in? Well, the scripture is replete with all different types of descriptions, stories, lessons, topical, futuristic, and also relevant to current events. As many of you may or may not be aware of, there were two significant events that transpired during the last week in our nation. The first was the fall and imprisonment of Dr. Bill Cosby, who for decades lifted several families across the nation through his public persona as Clifford Huxtable. He was the embodiment of the successful black father in the home. And so there's many people that are feeling some kind of way because of what he has done. And this is due to the acts that he committed over decades involving sexual assault towards women. The second situation, you may not be as familiar with it, but if you're a student of history and a student of what is going on politically in this particular nation, the second significant event actually is related to the confirmation hearings of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh, a potential Supreme Court justice that has a lot of ramifications. And if you've ever been around for any number of years, these confirmation hearings are always contentious, unless it's a confirmation hearing for somebody that is just going to be a duplicate of the next one. Things have become very polarized, but this particular man was accused of inappropriate sexual contact as a teenager by one woman, Dr. Ford, and there were other quote-unquote allegations. To be fair, he has denied all of these allegations, and through political pressure, and I also believe a bit of wisdom, an FBI investigation has been launched to validate or dismiss the claims. People need to understand that the FBI does not come to a conclusion. They just validate or invalidate what is said. Are y'all with me so far? Now, you may be wondering why I'm speaking of this today, especially in the current climate of the hashtag MeToo movement. Well, this is what I know. I am a man who has a mother, a sister, and a wife, as well as a father, a brother, and sons, along with a congregation of both males and females, ranging from the youngest of us as toddlers to the most seasoned among us. You need to know this day that I love and respect all of you very deeply. I don't know all of your stories, because I'm sure that if you ever have a number of people inside of a congregation, somebody has experienced these specific things, and I am aware of the people that have had these situations. There are other situations that no one has even told about. So to you, sir, to you, ma'am, I want you to understand and know that this ministry will honor you and will provide a safe place for you to grow in God and form meaningful relationships with each other. I may not know what you have gone through, but God knows, and may He bring peace and comfort and healing to whatever you have gone through if you experienced sexual assault or molestation. Please know that if you ever needed to come forward or share your story, do so without fear with someone you trust. However, I would be remiss if I did not address the underlying topic of guilt and innocence. Amen. Which King Solomon faced so many years ago when he said, or when a he said, she said, or rather she said, see what I did there? Situation met him at his door. In this story, both of them categorically, you see this, spoke their truth. That's like the new buzzword that's kind of popped up within the last 5 years or so. You speak your truth and I speak my truth. But as we all know, there is what you say and what the other person says, and then the truth is somewhere in the middle. So we know without a shadow of a doubt only one was telling the truth. We see that in the scripture. And as a judge and king, Solomon had precedence on how to solve the issue when such a scenario came to light. And if you want me to put this in the proper context, one of the issues that came up with both individuals, both Bill Cosby as well as Judge Kavanaugh, and more so with Judge Kavanaugh, is that an allegation was made and people are persecuting him in the court of public opinion without any tangible evidence. So you have people who believe what they want to believe. They believe that he did it. Some people believe that he did not do it. Okay. But the truth of the matter is that you should never make a false accusation unless you have evidence. Here's the reason why King Solomon approached this unique situation in a different manner. Now, this is not just only about the Me Too movement. This is also about you and your homeboy getting pulled over and the police saying you got something inside of your car and you know that you didn't do it. Okay, now I got your attention. It's bigger than that. See, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 16 through 21, God, through his people, gave a methodology in order to manage this type of situation. Verse 16 says, if a malicious witness comes forward and accuses someone of a crime, Then both the accuser and accused must appear before the Lord by coming to the priest and judges in office at that time. The judges must investigate the case thoroughly. If the accuser has brought, watch this, false charges against his fellow Israelite, you must impose on the accuser the sentence he intended for the other person. Look at this. In this way, you will purge such evil from among you. Then the rest of the people will hear about it and be afraid to do such an evil thing. But I don't want you to think of this as some type of way to exonerate somebody, because verse 21 puts the cap on this. You must show no pity for the guilty, however. Your rules should be life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And so this method of justice mirrors our justice system in the Western world and somewhat in the Eastern world. Meaning, if you are guilty, you are guilty, regardless of public opinion, how good you were in the public eye. But if you are innocent, you are innocent, regardless of public opinion. Especially, here's the reason why this is important, because you can level an accusation to somebody, but if they didn't do it, how can you defend yourself? Because we live in a world where it's not whether or not you did it, it's the seriousness of the charge. And since we have both sons and daughters, mamas, your sons are living in this world right now. And so we don't need to go too far just because we went through. It's quiet up in the air. The reason why this is so important is because there are so many people of color and otherwise who have been accused of things and have been placed in jail while innocent. The Innocence Project is one example. They didn't have DNA evidence in the 80s and 90s, but then your uncle or your father or your grandfather was looked like he was 5'11" and dark complexion and stood in a lineup. Back to back, getting profiled, and sister girl didn't know what's going on, and the police whispers in her ear, is that him right there, the one right there, the one right there? Yes, I think that's it. Okay, book him. And then that man or that woman is in jail for years, and then once DNA evidence comes out, 25 years passes by, and they're scot-free with millions of dollars in their hand, but they can never recover their life. So for the Christian, we are never to accuse someone without evidence when one sins against us. Jesus made this clear in the following example out of Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. We talked about this before as a method of conflict resolution. It says in verse 15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Confront the person that did it. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That statement, or the last statement in that particular stanza or scripture, if you will, came from the scripture reference in the Old Testament that came from out of Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Look at it in verse 15. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By, watch this, the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. In other words, somebody has to have some type of corroborating evidence that you did what you did. So we can see here the pattern of justice biblically. But what do you do, hear me now, when there are no witnesses to the incidents? I mean, young lady, you know that it happened, but there was no social media. My brother, you know what happened, but everybody in your family says that Uncle so-and-so wouldn't do anything like that, and you just need to stop tripping. No videos, no records. And young people, this is very important for you, because you do grow up and are growing up in the social media era. There's cameras everywhere. And people will pop up their phone and record you unsuspectingly. You dancing and you think it's cool, and that person records you and they follow you. Could be just a regular day, and then all of a sudden you start starting to fight with somebody right around the corner. You don't think there's nobody looking at you anymore, but that person's sitting right there, and then uploads it and gets tons and tons of views. I know a situation right now between an estranged husband and wife, who the husband recorded them while they were having intimacy with each other. Now he's uploading it on a website just to make money. So young people, you have to be careful in this particular era. Mothers, you do need to talk to your sons about who they speak with, and that they do not need to go to the house party by themselves. I used to fight my mother so hard about wanting to go with quote unquote my friends in high school. I remember I lost my sense just for a split second. When I was about 17 years old, 18 years old, if you will, and it was at the end of the school year, I was getting ready to go to college, and a couple of my friends wanted to invite me to a house party. And I wanted to go so bad because I never went to one before. My parents didn't really play that. And so this particular time, I thought that I was going to be able to go. I was like, Mom, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to a house party. It's over there and by my old high school. I want to go. And my mom was like, no. I was like, Mom, you let me go to the club and things like that. Mind you, this is 17-year-old, 18-year-old Andre. You let me go to Cool Runners. What's the problem? From all my Duval County people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But she said no. And I was like, but Mom, I really want to go. This is the last party of the school year. Everybody's going to be there. And I was so upset. And I lost my sense. I lost my sense just for one split second. And I started walking towards the door anyway. Now, my mom is 4'11". But that day, I don't know what happened, but there was this yellow broom that just came from out of nowhere, just like that. And she went across my head, wah-pow! And it just shocked me. It didn't hurt me, but it kind of hurt me. It kind of hurt my feelings. And she was like, you are not going. Sit your butt down in the house. You're not going anywhere. And I was 38 hot boy. But because I knew Andre Sr. was on his way home, I took my happy butt and sat inside of my room fuming for the rest of the evening. But as you always know, there's always a reality as to why mama felt that way. Because little do I know that young men and young ladies, you need to know this too, that they were, how should I put this? Some of the same things that were being accused of by this particular gentleman, the judge, about trains, planes, and automobiles going on at the party. I'll just keep it that way. That's the best way that I could put it. That actually happened. And one of my friends was shot at that same party. So sometimes it's good for you to not let them be exposed to everything just because it's fun. Everybody there is not innocent, both male and female. And the Bible says, in order to avoid the appearance of evil, you must stay away from it. So to you, young man, if you still have your virginity, hold on to it tight. You'll avoid a lot of problems. To you, young lady, if you're still a virgin, hold on to it. You're going to avoid a lot of problems. And if you do want to keep that, make sure that you go nowhere alone. Now, it's not only just ladies, but it's also young men. That's why you see so many windows inside of the church. That's why my door is always open. That's why I always have somebody with me in my office, because my reputation is too valuable. Just because somebody's feeling some kind of way at their house, and now they're fantasizing about me or my wife. So what do you do when you did go and you've been accused and you have no way to prove it? Well, first of all, we need to have enough wisdom to not put ourselves in certain situations. And parents, you do need to say no. You need to watch yourself. I don't know if you're ever going to run for office one day. And most of us did plenty of stupid stuff. Probably going to do some stupid stuff next weekend. Them turnips shall not be televised. I get it. I feel you. I understand. But we do live in an era where Big Brother, quote unquote, is watching you. And the scriptures are being fulfilled once again. Because God knows all and sees all anyway. And nothing hidden can be kept from him. And so people who really don't understand that, now you're starting to feel the effects of that right now. That your whole life can be destroyed within a matter of seconds with one upload. That's why you need to be careful. Young man, young lady, if you have a lot of emotions and you're a very emotional person and you just can't withhold yourself when you go around that particular individual, that is the time when you need to push away from the table. I'm just trying to help you. All right. So let's visit once again the opening text when Solomon has heard this particular matter, a he said, she said situation. Also notice how he begins to solve this situation using unconventional means. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23 through 28 said, and the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And notice this, verse 25. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Thus the title, going half on a baby. Now Solomon wasn't really going to divide and kill the child. That's not what he was going to do in his own mind. But you have to understand, back in ancient Israel, when a king made a decree, and when he was getting ready to do something, he did it with no flinch. He did it without any hesitation. He was going to lay down the arm of the law in order to get down to the truth of the matter. That's what his aim was. That was his motive. He had no aught against one woman. He had no aught against the other woman. He really didn't want to divide the child, but in order for the truth to come up to the surface, he used the God-given wisdom that he prayed for many years ago and used it in this instance where there were no witnesses. It's just that there's one pointing at one and the other pointing at the other. Verse 26 is interesting as well. It says, then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son and said, oh, my Lord, give her, watch this, the living child, and by no means kill him. Watch this. But the other woman said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Look at that. So the king is getting ready to settle the matter. The baby who really belonged to the first woman, she was saying, you know what? I'll compromise. I'll give him up in order for him to live. I'm willing to make, watch this, a sacrifice in order for him to live. While the other one was so driven by hatred and envy that she says, because of what I got going on in my past and because of my loss, I don't want nobody to have nothing. She was the definition of a real hater. A hater is somebody who sees you with them, who sees the blessing and doesn't want you to have it at all either. They don't want it and they don't want you to have it either. King Solomon in his mind understood that this second woman was breaking all types of commandments, such as thou shall not covet or desire to have something else that belongs to someone else. When you look at my car, you shouldn't say to yourself, give me that car. I had a preacher that told me that a little while ago. Give me that car. I was like, give me your arm. I just took my call off for a split second in my mind, and then I put it back on. I said, bless the Lord, highly favored. Like the other religious people that are out there. Bless the Lord, highly favored. All right. So at the end of the day, that's exactly what had happened. At the end of the day, this is exactly what went on. Repeating verse 26, the woman whose child was living once spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son. Oh, my Lord, give her the living child. By no means kill her, but the other said, he shall neither be mine nor yours. Divide him. Cut it up. So those responses were very interesting. One woman was willing to compromise and sacrifice with the result ending in life, while the other was driven by hatred and envy, resulting in death. Verse 27 carries the story even deeper. Then the king said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And when all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. On the surface, this biblical story illustrates the importance of having a fair and just treatment when accusations are made, and the wisdom it takes to make those judgments. But on a deeper level, this is how God, watch this, will judge us at the end of the age. You see, there's always going to be fingers pointing at each other. That's why I never make judgments without getting all of the facts. It's very important that you have all of the facts. And I know that we're in a climate, a hyperclimate. And I know many women and men have been molested and have been touched inappropriately. I know that those things have happened. And I do believe that most of the stories that are out there should be believed. But while that may be true, there's also instances where people have been falsely accused and they have gone to jail for years and years with no way to repair their reputation. That's why I don't ride around by myself unless it's an absolute emergency with somebody from the opposite sex. Because I can't give the appearance of evil. It's using wisdom. Some people look at that as being bougie or sadity or stuck up. No, what am I doing? I'm protecting myself because y'all know that the preachers already have a reputation of sleeping with everybody in the church. I mean, your church, that's not here. The church you came from. But that's not everybody. And brothers, you have to be careful too. If you have a wonderful marriage and things are rocking right now, you have to be careful with the appearance of evil so that you don't get caught up in what's going on. So that your sons and daughters won't be saying, why are you sleeping in one part of the house and daddy's sleeping in the other part of the house? You have to protect your reputation before anything happens. Because just like there's people that get caught up in situations, there's so many relationships that have no fireworks at all. And you could be in that category as well. That's why you have to use wisdom. Young brothers, you do have to be careful. As your hormones start reaching up into the sky, and as you start looking up on the arms, you see the hair start popping out up on the arms and in other places. Mama, you know, as soon as you give that young man a stick of deodorant, it's on and popping from that point forward. And his body is changing. You have to impart wisdom into his soul so that you don't become a grandma too early. That is, you have to be careful with your daughters. If you don't want to become a grandparent too early, you have to impart wisdom into her soul. Everybody makes mistakes, and I did include it. But you can lessen the amount of them by just using wisdom, especially when everybody's experimenting with the other side right now. Is it okay to talk about this in church? I'd rather you find out about these type of things inside of church versus a meme on Facebook with somebody that you don't even know and don't even go to church. It's like somebody saying, okay, well, I know all of what's going on in church and I haven't set foot in one in years. So we have to talk about these difficult topics so that you can have a level of wisdom so that you won't be at the the courthouse with Coach Franklin bail bonds on speed dial. Talk about something. I need to get him out. He didn't do this. You have to be careful. You have to value yourself. Come on, Al, I'm done. You up? Are you sleeping? You had your hand up. So I want to share you this one truth with you. You notice how there was two individuals who were making a claim. One was innocent, one was guilty, and the king was in between the situation, trying to make peace of what was going on. Notice this. This is actually a picture of how God will judge us at the end of the age. I hope you see it. Make it plain, Pastor Martin. Here it is. First, the text tells us that both women were harlots. Or fast or loose, in my mama's voice. Fast and flip. Don't you talk about girls of y'all fast and flip. Look at them girls with the daisy dukes on. Oh, baby, baby. Because you're going to attract the guys that love the daisy dukes on. Oh, baby, baby. That's what you're going to have, too. So the text tells us that both women were harlots, or those who had, watch this, a sinful past. Like all of us, we too have pasts that are not anything to be proud about. And we can't boast or brag to God about how good of a person we are. You thought your timeline was off the chain. What about the stuff that you don't post on Facebook? You got folk feud confused and fooled, thinking that you little miss or Mr. Innocent, but you're not. So we can't go up to God and talk about, God, I'm such a good person, I need to get to heaven immediately. Look at what I've done. I'm a good person. Based on whose standard? Your own? No, you have no standard. Your standard moves. And we always grade ourselves on a bell curve. So like all of mankind, both ladies were actually guilty in the presence of the king. You see that? Both of them were guilty. Both of them had pasts that were not proud of. But they went before the king to try to solve a current matter. Next, you'll see that one was willing to sacrifice themselves so that the child could have life, even if they would lose them. Likewise, see the parallel here. Jesus was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have life, even if we became lost sheep in this world. See, Jesus died for the world, but not all the world appreciates his sacrifice. Jesus didn't allow for himself to die, be buried, based on whether or not he knew that you would accept him. He knew that many of you would reject him outright by your behavior, by the way that you act behind closed doors, by our current conduct, by what we say and what we do not say. Because there's two types of sins, ones that we do and ones that we think about. So when you say, only God can judge me, you have to be very careful, because when God judges us, he judges us not only by what we do externally, but also the way that our heart is functioning, or by our spirit, or the thoughts. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to appreciate his sacrifice. Finally, the King of Kings will judge all people. He will rightly divide truth beyond the joints and the marrow or the flesh. You see it? He was willing to take his sword and give the appearance that he was going to go through the flesh in order to get to the truth. You can see that? You see that there? Likewise, when God judges us, he's not going to judge according to the outer appearance, but he goes based on the heart. And so he gets past all of the flesh. He goes past the gold chain, the Christian Louboutin, the red bottom shoes, you know, all the other stuff. These are red bottom, these are black shoes. Yeah, I get that. When God judges, he's going to go past all of the celebrity, all of the where you come from, how you did it, what happened to you, and he's going to look at your heart. But we have a problem here, and this is where the gospel comes in. Because the heart is desperately wicked from the pulpit to the pew. Who can know it? So if our hearts are bent towards God by default, and all of us will do wrong eventually, then who can be saved? Well, that's when the sacrifice is so important. And that's why God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. God did not come into the world to condemn us, but through his son, we could be saved. So that when God examines your heart with all of those issues, he doesn't see your past. He sees his son in your place. As a representative, as an advocate, you'll be clothed in righteousness. So when the king does judge you, you won't lose your life in the process. It also lets us know that we are to respect and fear a holy God, who is the embodiment of truth. So we can't just appear to God and jump up in his face or jump up at the altar any old kind of way. No, we need to honor God. Because just as surely as you don't control your breathing when you sleep, it's just a deep truth about how God really and truly governs our lives. And even when we don't want him, he still takes care of us. What kind of love is that? To take care of children that don't even want to be in a relationship with their father. That's love. That's sacrifice. And that is the gospel. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask you, Lord God, as we come into your presence even at this very hour, we pray, Lord God, that you would touch and meet these, your people, as we go in into the next phase of our lives with you, Lord God. I pray that there was understanding and clarity about this deep and very, very sensitive matter that is going on in our nation and in the thoughts and intents of the people that are in this room. I pray for every individual that has been falsely accused, and I also pray for every individual who has been attacked and been touched inappropriately, sexually, and it has affected their very lives, even their relationships with their significant other. I pray that healing and deliverance will take place. I pray that they find a safe place to confide in someone to share their story without fear of retribution or retaliation. I also pray, Lord God, that our parents as well as our young people will use wisdom as they begin to navigate their way through this world in regards to relationships and how to conduct themselves, and that being cool is not always the way to go. Let us be wise in our workings and our dealings. Let us keep you first, Lord God, as you are the judge of all of heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. half on the baby. Half of y'all thought of R. Kelly. The other half of y'all was like, okay, I want to see what this is all about. You know the reason why I did not want to make a reference to R. Kelly? It's because he has been accused of being a sexual predator. So that would be very insensitive. Whenever it comes to things that we are dealing with in this world, we should always look not to the world for a solution or an idea, but to the scriptures first, to God's truth first. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. We done. We done. I gave y'all extra time today. I'm working on it, y'all. I'm working on it. All right. Y'all good? I know that was a unique message, wasn't it? But I hope that it really spoke to your heart. And I hope that you will reconsider some things, especially as my kids and your kids start getting taller than us. And as they begin to go into this wild and treacherous world, you have to have wisdom so that you don't repeat the cycles that some of us have made. Amen. Amen. I don't want anybody to talk about some to their child, well, you did this to me. I can't have no more fun because of you. You had all of your fun. That's why you had them. All right. Let's use wisdom. Let's not be led by our flesh. Let's not be led by our will and emotions, because your emotions will get you in a ton of trouble. How you feel. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, let's go have on a baby. We bless people of God. Lady Mark, come on up.